Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini as co-host. Chris, nice to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you, Dr. Paul. Thank you.
Good. You know, what's been big in the news, obviously, is the impeachment and what's going on there. And yet last week, though, about a week ago, they did pause for a political event, as far as I'm concerned. That is, the president had a grand announcement that they had phase one passed and agreed with China, which the financial markets like that kind of stuff because it just sounds good. We have a little bit of questions about just how great this is because Trump was really ecstatic. He called it the greatest trade agreement ever made. Well, we should pay attention to that then. So I guess if you're a protectionist and you want to distract from some other events going on in the world, you can come up and do it. But the first thought I had about it was it's pretty amazing, you know, how presidents can achieve so much on their own without the Congress. I mean, this wasn't passed law. It's not a treaty or anything else. It's just 80-some pages of details on management of trade between the United States and China. And that's better than fighting with China, I guess, but this is not free trade, and Trump doesn't admit it, and the people who support it, they don't admit it. They call it a significant move in the direction of fair trade, and they tinker on the edges, and they claim that, you know, we will have many advantages for this, but if we have gain some advantages from the agreement. Believe me, China's not going to just walk away from it. But at least on the surface, they look like they agreed on something. And for the moment, the stock market just loved it. But I think there's some shortcomings. Mainly, what they did was rather minor, you know, compared to what they could do and move toward free trade. But I think there was a $120 billion. The tariffs on that were cut by 50%, and it was cut from 15% down to 7.5%. That's a cut, and that's okay. And we agreed not to raise any more tariffs in the near time future. So this is a little bit, but we still have tariffs on $360 billion of imports from China, which, of course, we've made the point very often on this program that that doesn't mean that we collect money from China. That means China has to charge a little bit more for the products they sell us, and the American consumer has to pay. And on the long run, when the markets turn in a different direction as a correction for the malinvestment and all the debt, then this will be a painful increase in the cost. And I think there's signs of that already happening. So, Chris, I'm not all that excited about this. I just am concerned that the propaganda is a little powerful. And right now, there's not many people, even some of the free traders would say, well, this is necessary, but it's just messy. You know, it's more bureaucratic. It's more managed trade. And the other thing, a major thing that bothers me is it's not done with approval of Congress. You know, all the trade agreements, whether it had been the NAFTA type of agreements and WTO and all, that we as a people have allowed our Congress to deliver this power to the executive branch of government, and they really never review it. Yeah, sometimes there's a token vote in the Congress to approve what they have done, but you can't amend it or anything else. There'll be no amendments to this, Canada has to work on the Canadian-Mexico-U.S. agreement. But most of the time, the Congress is not involved, and unfortunately, that means I think the problems are going to persist. And I would say, Chris, that we have not taken a significant step in the right direction of more free trade, working toward a more peaceful relationship with China.
That's true, Dr. Paul. And as you mentioned, you know, trade deals are politically connect. They're for politically connected special interests. And in this case, China will buy more food and more energy. Those are two industries. So is the role of government to go around the world and strong arm others to buy food and energy for, you know, for some corporations here? I mean, what if the Liberty Report was either blocked or shadow banned in China. We run the government. You go tell them to let the Liberty Report in. Now, we have enough problems getting shadow banned here. It's not our, you know, for us to have government be, you know, go strong arm other countries. There's no divine right to have your, to sell your stuff anywhere. So, you know, which is why we believe that the best policy is free trade. Government is not involved in our economic lives. And when they get involved, they harm us. You know, that's what Trump did. And he bragged about it. All these billions he brought in that he took out of our pockets to give to farmers. You know, that's like a, that's a redistribution scheme. And, you know, and it really doesn't matter what China does in response. If they want to harm their own citizens, I wish they wouldn't. But that's for their own citizens to take up with their government. We have to worry about our government harming us.
Right. You know, the, this issue has been around for a long time. From the beginning of our country, we've had this, especially with a person like Hamilton, very much in charge, because he orchestrated the first law, you know, imposing tariffs. And on the surface, it doesn't sound too bad because they didn't introduce this whole notion of micromanaging by the executive branch, because he even, you know, recognized what the Constitution said. But the second law ever passed in this country was the tariff law of 1789. And the tariff law and tariffs were responsible for raising 75% of all revenues all the way up until 1913. Then we resorted to income taxes. So it's been, it was devised at the beginning for a source of revenue. And you know, if you had that as a source of revenue, and if it were 5% and never to change, and you managed your government and didn't get involved in wars, you know, it probably wouldn't be the worst way. It'd be better than the income tax. But as usual, that's not exactly what happened. In 1789, they passed this bill, and it was 5% on all imports. But you know, quickly that changed. Hamilton stated, and the others agreed, that the Congress had to do it, and then the president would sign it. But it was not to be a protective tariff. That came later on. This was, you know, across the board. But guess what? It wasn't too long that we were going, got into a war of 1812, ran up the debt, needed more money, so they had to start increasing, you know, the tariffs. And over the many years before the income tax, it averaged about 20%, which was way too high because we were having too many wars. But when they, when after the war of 1812, they thought, well, maybe we can reduce the tariffs. They said, no, oh no, we need this money to give subsidies to the railroad industries, which was a sore thumb in our history of propping up the railroad system. But anyway, it's been around for a long time. At the beginning, it started as a fixed tariff, and that it was not a protective tariff, and yet it has morphed into something where, just think of the news day in and day out, just this announcement we're talking about now of the agreement with China. I mean, it was the president doing this, and Congress really doesn't pay a whole lot of attention. But in this case, if you read this closely, you'll find out that it, other than this very little reduction in tariffs with a trade-off with something else, has more management in than even NAFTA and some of these other organizations had. So it's not, it can't be a move toward free trade if there's 89 pages of it. So I imagine, I didn't look it up, but I imagine that tariff bill of 1789 to say all imports will be taxed at 5%. I bet that didn't take long. I imagine that could have been written in one page. But now, just tinkering on the edges, the president grabs this authority and say it's the greatest thing ever. Well, I think the process is bad, but that's what we've been dealing with all along. I don't think it's a move toward real free trade. And one thing that's an overriding issue here, and might talk a little bit about, Chris, is the fact that it's probably not going to help us in a geopolitical sense of us getting along much better with China. Matter of fact, it looks like it might be getting worse, because immediately, day after we passed this treaty, we wanted to test the Straits of Formosa and send a military ship through there, just antagonize them and looking for trouble. So in a way, they're not even thinking about peace and free trade. They're thinking about manipulating trade. They're thinking about politics. They're thinking about maintaining executive branch government. And even the Democrats didn't complain about this. They much rather would talk about a made-up case of for impeaching the president.
Yes, Dr. Paul, and you know, during the week, you and Daniel, we were very disappointed in Trump's foreign policy. But I have to say, on the economy too, you know, the stock market notwithstanding, he's a disappointment because, you know, we have this businessman president, and you'd want him to make America more competitive. And the only way to make America more competitive is to cut, and cut everywhere. You know, we have regulations out the wazoo. We have alphabet agencies, so many you can't even count them, and bureaucrats everywhere. And, you know, it's just a pain to hire and fire here. And people say, oh, no, they want cheap labor. Cheap labor is just one thing. Cheap labor comes with its own headaches. You know, businesses, they'll say, I love America, but there's no way I'm planning my business there. And that the president has not done. He's made this, you know, this interim deal, you know, that benefits a couple of industries. But as far as making America attractive for people to bring their business here, hasn't done it.
Right. And, you know, another discussion that goes on here is, you know, Trump's position is called America First. We look toward protecting ourselves and whatever is necessary. And there's also the attack on globalization, and Trump will do this too, because we don't want, you know, at least he does it in a token sort of way. That globalization, that means the WTOs and the World Bank and the IMF and all this, all these international organizations, and NATO, and this goes on, and there's one, the big talk and toughness on about which way are we moving. So globalization in the ordinary sense of the last 100 years, or especially since World War II, I think very, very dangerous, because it's managed trade and it's a level of government. You go up one level of government that you appeal. I mean, the WTO, its biggest job is endorsing increasing penalties and tariffs as a correction for the problems it faces. So they go and they're actually endorsing it. It really doesn't work that well. But America First is understood, you know, what it is. But in a way, I think of globalization as not only the kind that we have, because if you had a free market form of globalization, if you had a sound currency accepted voluntarily by all the countries, and then free trade, it would be globalization, but it would be voluntary globalization, who's doing it in their own best interest, you know, to compete and have a sound currency, measure values much better, stay out of wars. But that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about disapproving the type of globalization that we've been having. They're not talking about a laissez-faire type of globalization, but they're talking about a globalization of a special interest group. Like, if we can control things through the financial markets, control the reserve currency of the dollar, put on sanctions willy-nilly, yes, we can have a globalization which is dictated to the people. And of course, I think World War II had a lot to do with that type of globalization, because both the fascists and the communists wanted globalization too, but it was a political globalization. So that is quite a bit different. But a lot of people get sucked into this and say, oh, well, what's wrong with making America first? And if you're thinking about making America first in the cause of liberty, I think that's great. But if you're making America great because we have become the authoritarian, we own the reserve currency of the world, and we can put sanctions and we can freeze assets and we can threaten people with war, that is not making America great. And we must try to explain to people that you have much better globalization if it's voluntary versus the kind dictated to us by the interventionists, the fascists and the communists and all others. And all they want is control of what is happening. And it's a tough battle to fight, because for the most part, people think only now of tinkering around the edges, and if we do that, then we'll come up and we'll outsmart the other ones. And for now, it's been on hold. This bill is not going to do a whole lot. This agreement won't do a whole lot. But they say, the administration said, well, we'll follow up after the election. Well, you know, all kinds of things can happen, and who knows about the possible military conflict with China before that.
All right, Dr. Paul, I'll finish up now, and you mentioned America first. I'd like to propose American individual liberty first, and that's what we're about here, because there's a lot of definitions of what America is. Is it the food industry? Is it the troops? Is it the... How about individual liberty for all of us? And our responsibility as Americans is to watch over our government and make sure they do the right thing. That's why we criticize our government. The Chinese are not our government. The Iran is not our government. We're Americans, and we have to pay attention to our government. At the same time, while we're doing that, our government wants us to keep our eyes outside of this country. China is the villain. Iran is the villain. Venezuela, it's always outside. It's never them. But that's, you know, that's not our job. If we're going to have liberty, we have to make sure our government doesn't take it from us. And, you know, Trump, obviously, it's obvious now. It's all about optics. Everything is the greatest until the next thing, and then that'll be the greatest. We should move towards free trade. He's not doing it. He definitely does not have advisors that want to do it. And as of now, that's not good.
Very good, Chris. And I'm going to finish up by just talking about a general problem about what's happening in the next near future with the economies in the world. China is actually slowing up. They had they monetized a lot of the dollars that we sent over there, so they have inflation and malinvestment. But economic growth, if compared to what other countries report, has been fantastic. And there's no doubt that they have done well and produced more and wealthier, the second most wealthy country in the world. So it is there, but it's slowing up. And our economy is slowing too, although nobody would admit it, because on the surface it sounds so great and wonderful, but it's all been based on debt and inflation. The debt, you know, if you can borrow and print money at will, the economy ought to look a little bit better. But, you know, in time, and it has a lot of political significance, this is going to be a big problem for the whole world. It will be a problem with China, with the United States, and our relationship, because as the economies turn down, they're not going to resort and say, you know, I guess that Liberty Report was correct. We had too much government, and we're going to back off. We're going to have more free trade, and we're going to cut government spending and let the people spend their money and lower their taxes. No, that's not going to happen, because everybody's geared for intervention. And if you don't have the intervention around the world, you're called a wimp, you know, whether it's trade or whether it's military. And unfortunately, so many of our people in this country are ill-informed because of our educational system. They go along with that. So we have our work cut out for ourselves to try to introduce the notion and get people excited about what a free market would all be like, and get people to understand that free trade shouldn't be a threat, and sound money should be a necessity, and the protection of liberty should be pursued with great deal of exuberance. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.